Well, hello. This is Bob Sutherland from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Reuters, the News and Observer Business section, for what's left, Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg. So let us begin. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency. They served our community since 1974 and can be reached by dialing 919-781-1973. Well, the stock market closed yesterday at 25,625, down 32.14. And the S&P 500 closed at 2805, down 1309. When President Trump's trade team presented Chinese officials with a list of bold economic demands in Beijing last May, one of China's state-controlled news outlets, the Global Times, panned the request and blared a curious headline, "Is it now 1840?" Well, 5 months later, China's national news agency, Xinhua, accused Vice President Mike Pence of lacking knowledge of China's past after he complained that Beijing was merely paying lip service to opening its economy. Yet behind the pushback is a long and painful history of China surrendering to Western powers, with origins in what the Chinese media refer to as a century of humiliation that began with the unequal treaties of the 19th century after the First Opium War. History has been haunting trade negotiations between the world's two largest economies, which have dragged on for more than a year, while the administration's requests surrounding forced technology transfer and subsidies of state-owned enterprises remain unsolved. The deepest division centers on the United States' insistence on an enforcement mechanism that gives it power to impose tariffs if China abrogates its end of the trade. Well, British Prime Minister Theresa May offered up her job in exchange for her Brexit deal Wednesday, telling colleagues she would quit within weeks if the agreement was passed and Britain left the European Union. May's dramatic concession that, quote, "there is a desire for a new approach and a new leadership," unquote, was a last-ditch effort to bring enough reluctant colleagues on board to push her twice-rejected EU divorce deal over the line. It looked like it might not be enough, as a key Northern Ireland party said it would not be supporting the deal. Well, Education Secretary Betsy DeVos on Wednesday defended a proposal to eliminate funding for the Special Olympics, pushing back against criticism from athletes, celebrities, and politicians. Democrats slammed her plan to remove the group's funding as part of a $7 billion budget cut for next year. The Special Olympics received $17.6 million from the Education Department this year, roughly 10% of its overall revenue. In a statement, DeVos noted that it's a private nonprofit that raises $100 million a year on its own. Ultimately, she argued her agency can't afford to continue backing it. That's very unfortunate. Well, the Federal Aviation Administration plans to revamp oversight of airplane development after the two deadly crashes of Boeing's new 737 MAX raised questions of whether the FAA has gone too far in letting companies regulate themselves, a Transportation Department official said on Wednesday. For decades, the FAA has delegated some authority for certifying new aircraft to the manufacturers themselves, reducing government costs and, defenders say, speeding the rollout of new models. But in the wake of the air disasters in Ethiopia and Indonesia over the last 5 months, That practice has been seized on as evidence of an overly cozy relationship between the FAA and the industry. Well, locally, Raleigh's Crabtree Mall to welcome new retailers as others depart. Plans for the Sears space at Crabtree Valley Mall in Raleigh moving forward toward an announcement before the end of May. But in the meantime, new stores are making their North Carolina debut soon. Southern Marsh, a Louisiana company known as a Southern Outfitter for Casual Clothes, is set to open its second store nationally at Crabtree within the next few weeks. The retailer will be located in a 3,500-square-foot area that formerly housed the women's clothing store Bebe, which went bankrupt nearly 2 years ago. Dry Goods, a subsidiary of Von Maur, an Iowa retail store founded in 1872, will open its stores at the mall in July. The clothing and accessories retailer will occupy 3,592 feet that is currently housed by Hallmark. Well, do taxpayers get what they're paying for? It depends on the state in which they live, according to personal finance website WalletHub, which analyzed public and government records to rank the states for taxpayer return on investment. And North Carolina fell in the middle of the pack, ranking 26th among the 50. The Tar Heel State fared better in terms of total taxes paid per capita. They ranked 19th, but was among the worst in terms of quality of government services, ranking 35. Followers of such studies often note that the difference in federal spending across state lines often denotes the effectiveness of the state's United States senators and its congressional leaders. Five areas were examined to determine the level of government service: education, health, safety, economy, infrastructure, and pollution. North Carolina got its best score in education at number 19 in the country, and its worst scores in health, ranking 48 among the 50 states. Well, President Trump from Palm Beach, Florida, tweeted Friday that he has reversed his administration's decision to slap new sanctions on North Korea, with his press secretary explaining that he likes leader Jong-un, Kim Jong-un, and doesn't think they're necessary. It's unclear, however, which sanctions the president was referring in his tweet, which took Treasury officials by surprise. It was announced today by the U.S. Treasury that additional large-scale sanctions would be added to those already existing sanctions on North Korea, Trump wrote from his private club in Palm Beach. He says, "I have today ordered the withdrawal of those additional sanctions." The White House did not immediately respond to questions about which ones Trump was referring to. No new action against North Korea was announced by the Treasury Department on Friday, though Trump this week did threaten that new ones would be added. On Thursday, the administration did sanction two Chinese shipping companies suspected of helping North Korea evade sanctions, the first targeted actions taken against Pyongyang since Trump and Kim met in Hanoi last month for negotiations about North Korea's nuclear weapons program. This summit ended without a deal. Well, Levi Strauss and Company, which gave America its first pair of blue jeans, is public for the second time. The stock, which is listed under the ticker Levi, opened for trading on Thursday, up 31% on very strong demand, and recently changed hands at $22.90, up $5.90 a share. The offering priced at $17, above an original expected $14 to $16. As of Thursday's close, the stock propped nearly 32%, closing at $22.41 per share. That gave Levi's market value of $8.64 billion, according to FactSet. Well, employees brace for layoffs at one of Triangle's largest clinical research companies in need of reorganization, which could put could soon put many employees out of work. This month, the Durham-based Duke Clinical Research Institute began informing its employees that layoffs would be coming before the end of the fiscal year. That's according to the email from Interim Director Leslie Curtis and obtained by the TBJ Triangle Business Journal. At this time, I do not expect the reduction to occur before May 1, she stated in the email. I do expect it to happen before June 30, the end of this fiscal year. I share this information in the hope that this level of transparency is helpful, while also acknowledging that this time of uncertainty remains challenging for all of us. Company officials confirm Curtis's note to employees, but decline to elaborate further. Well, the New York Stock Exchange zealously enforces its dress code for the trading floor, insisting that beards, mustaches, and sideburns be kept neatly trimmed. But for one day last week, the floor looked more like a Bruce Springsteen convention, with traders decked out in stonewashed jeans and denim jackets. The gimmick is to commemorate the return of Levi Strauss to the U.S. stock market after a three-decade stint in private hands. It is also a reminder of the fierce battles that are being waged in U.S. markets between exchanges for previous listings, bankers for the fees initial public offerings bring, and among big technology companies hustling to sell shares before market turns turbulent again. Well, will the American home of golf also become home to an amphitheater, a big water park, a distillery, and at least a handful of new breweries? Those are among attractions envisioned by Moore County political and business leaders as the Pinehurst area looks to expand past its niche as a mecca for golfers from around the world. It's according to Phil Wirtz, the new president and CEO of the Pinehurst Southern Pines at Aberdeen Convention and Visitors Bureau. Wirtz told the Triangle Business Journal that a fourth brewery soon will be announced and that local Chamber of Commerce leaders have told him two others are planned to follow. Wirtz said Sandhills leaders also are talking to Charlotte's Mr. Wirtz says, we have to have things at this destination for kids and families to do, Wirtz said on Monday at a media event at Pine Needles. This is always going to be a golf draw, but we need to find those other things that will allow this area to grow in a smart way. The final nine holes of the final two rounds of the U.S. Wina. Pardon me, please. The final nine holes of the final two rounds of the U.S. Women's Open will be televised on Fox Sports FS Channel 1. The CVB is supporting a plan to increase the hotel occupancy tax that Wirtz said could pay for additional attractions such as a 1,000-seat amphitheater and a big water park for the kids. Last year's first Senior Women's Open, won by Laura Davies, was held at the Chicago Golf Club, and the Open is the oldest and most prestigious women's golf tournament, will be played at Pine Needles for the fourth time in 2022. In the past 18 months, Pinehurst Resort and Country Club, the main driver of tourism in the area, has opened a short course called The Cradle and a putting course called Thistle Dew, geared for introducing kids to golf, as well as a Pinehurst Brewing Company, a drinking and dining establishment for golfers, non-golfers, and families can enjoy. Pinehurst recently opened a water park for members. Well, North Carolina has a wealth of universities, and those schools have benefited from some major donations through the years. Duke University, UNC Chapel Hill, and State University, and others have benefited from significant donations that help them attract students, endow professorships, and build new structures in challenging economic times. Some of the names on the list are familiar, such as the Money's Pharmaceutical Product Development founder Fred Eshelman has given to UNC, and the large dollars from Duke Endowment to Duke University. Triangle Business Journal ranked the largest individual donation to each school and then put those in order. Some of the gifts have had substantial impacts on the schools. For example, the Park Foundation gave NC State a colossal gift in 13 intended to permanently fund the Park Fellows program. The gift honored Roy Clark, an NC State graduate, and supports the work of the 45 scholars selected annually. But the major schools aren't the only ones pulling in significant help. Meredith College not long ago celebrated a big gift for the Judd Ammons family in Raleigh, designed to renovate the school's iconic Johnson Hall. Well, U.S. profit margins on track to suffer their first fall since 2015 as companies increasingly struggle to pass on costs of rising labor, transportation, and raw materials to customers. A record 58% of respondents to the latest National Association for Business Economics survey of business conditions reported rising wage costs, the bank Strategics noted, while only 19% reported that they had increased the prices they charge customers. Analysts' consensus forecast is for net profit margins to contract by 40 basis points in 2019 to 10.9%, according to Goldman Sachs. Wall Street is braced for an earnings recession. Well, the Triangle housing market start in 2019 has been a mixed bag so far. While sales were still down in the first month of the year, conditions in the housing market have improved since the slowdown at the end of last year. That's when a combination of bad weather and rising interest rates began to weigh on demand in the region. This January was slower than last January, said Sharon Webb of Webb Realty at Coldwell Advantage in a phone interview. But she says it almost seems like we are a month behind from where we usually are. However, Webb did add a drop in mortgage interest rates has revived some demand in the past month. In February, it picked back up and interest rates have dropped. So said Webb, who mainly operates in the North Raleigh market. She says that has spurred the market. Mortgage rates have indeed been on a steady downward trajectory since the end of last year. Rates peaked on November 15 of last year when a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage came in at 4.94%. That's according to Freddie Mac. But as of March 21, the mortgage rate had fallen back to 4.28%, and the Federal Reserve appears to be less likely to raise interest rates in the coming months. In practice, that leads to smaller monthly payments on mortgages for buyers. While he still sees the beginning of the year as a mixed bag, Stacy Anfinson, a Cary-based appraiser with Birch Appraisal, who puts together the monthly Triangle residential realty market, said the drop in the mortgage rates has been a relief. Goes on to say, most of the things I see now is that the Fed isn't going to stop messing with interest rates, so mortgage rates are going to be stable. Last year, we had to worry about both increasing rates and prices, but this year is just about the prices, he said. Well, Duke University will pay $112.5 million to settle a whistleblower's lawsuit over a research technician who prosecutors say falsified data to get federal grants for years. The lawsuit was filed in federal court in Greensboro in 2014 by a former Duke employee who said Aaron Potskat, who worked in Duke's airway physiology laboratory, had lied about her findings to get dozens of federal grants. The lawsuit alleged that Duke knowingly submitted the researcher's false claims to the National Institutes of Health and the EPA in some 30 grants. Using that data, the agencies gave the university millions of dollars in research grants they otherwise would not have, the lawsuit said. Duke said Potts-Kant's experiments involved measuring the lung function of lab mice, not humans, and were not connected to clinical research. After doing a 3-year review of more than 50 potentially compromised research grants, Duke retracted publications that used the research's results. As a part of the settlement, Joseph Thomas, the whistleblower, will receive $33,750,000. This settlement sends a strong message that fraud and dishonesty will not be tolerated in the research funding process, EPA's Mary Walker said in a release from the Department of Justice. Well, jumping belatedly into a business dominated by Netflix and Amazon, Apple announced its own TV and movie streaming service Monday, enlisting such superstars as Oprah, Jennifer Aniston, and Steven Spielberg to try to overcome its rival's head start. Apple didn't disclose the price of the launch date. It did not disclose the price or the launch date, except to say that Apple TV Plus will be available this fall. It will feature Apple's original shows and movies. The company also unveiled a new subscription service that will give customers access to nearly 300 magazines and a few major newspapers for $10 a month. And it announced a new credit card. Well, UNC Rex will open 5 new urgent care locations and rebrand its existing centers. The UNC Rex Healthcare said Thursday that it plans to open 5 new healthcare centers across Wake County in the next year, while also simultaneously rebranding all of its urgent care centers. The expansion, which comes as the UNC healthcare system builds more than 1 million square feet of new space around the Triangle, is part of the healthcare provider's efforts to service a quickly growing region. Earlier this month, UNC Rex broke ground on a new 50-bed hospital in the Raleigh suburb of Holly Springs to serve the rapid population growth in that community. UNC Rex's urgent care centers, which have traditionally been under the branding of Rex Express Care, will also change their names to UNC Urgent Care, an effort to create more consistency across the UNC healthcare network. Well, while we're in Chapel Hill, we can read the story from, from the Durham Herald Sun, that Chapel Hill is to negotiate $2.2 million tax break for Glenn Lennox. Town officials will negotiate that amount of incentive with a Charlotte developer trying to bring new office space to the Glen Lennox neighborhood just off North Carolina 54. Grubb Properties is redeveloping the 1950s-era shops and apartments east of UNC's campus to create 3 million square feet of shops, offices, apartments, and a hotel on 70 acres. The first phase, 215 apartments, a clubhouse, and a parking deck is being built there now. Office buildings have been delayed, however, by rising costs, tariffs, and interest rates, Grubb Properties CEO Clay Grubb said. The biggest challenge is pre-leasing the office space, which would help secure bank financing. A 5-year incentive would discount Grubb Properties' future property tax payments to the town, as it adds jobs and office space, so said Dwight Bassett, the town's economic development director. The town would get an annual progress report, and the council voted 6-1 Wednesday to ask town manager Maurice Jones and the town's attorney to negotiate the deal, bring it back to the council for a future vote. Well, Lime, L-I-M-E, the California company whose bright green bicycles and scooters became a common sight in the Triangle, has ended its bike share program in Wake Forest. The company told the town early this month that it is moving away from bicycles in favor of electric scooters, according to Suzette Morales, the town's transportation planning manager. Lime, which was known as Lime Bike until last May, has pulled its bikes out of other cities as well, including Durham and Hartford, Connecticut. Requests for comments from Lime were not returned on Monday. Well, from the Charlotte Observer is a report the North Carolina company specializing in vacuum-packed pork skins is recalling three of its most popular spicy products because of what the USDA termed a high health risk issue. The products were shipped to a distributor and retailers in the Carolinas, federal officials said. Two Brothers Pork Skins, based in Kannapolis, not only forgot to list many of the ingredients on its packages, but left off how to cook the products, leading to the possibility of consumer confusion. The company is recalling an undetermined amount of pork skin products due to misbranding of its products. That's according to a news release on Friday by the United States Department of Agriculture, Food Safety and Inspection Service. Also unknown when the products were made, according to the USDA. Well, Roy Williams earned a $150,000 bonus with a trip to the Sweet 16. North Carolina's win over Washington in the second round on Sunday earned the Tar Heels their 10th trip to the Sweet 16 in 15 years. It also earned the head coach a sizable bonus. Roy Williams will receive that $150,000 bonus for advancing to the Sweet 16 according to his contract. Williams had made $145,000 in bonuses for making the NCAA tournament and advancing to the second round. If the Tar Heels can advance to the national championship game and win, he would receive an additional paltry $650,000. Number one seeded North Carolina, they are 29-6, beat number 16 Iona 88-73 in the first round, and Washington 81-59 in the second round. A win over Auburn will earn Williams a $200,000 bonus. A trip to the Final Four will earn him $600,000, and the championship $250,000. That makes up the $650,000. Williams makes a little more than $3.9 million a year, not including his potential bonus pay, which ranks seventh among all Division I men's basketball coaches. In October, Williams, 68, signed an 8-year contract extension, which will expire in June of 28. And while we're on those dollar amounts, NC State has stopped making payments to former basketball coach Mark Gottfried. The school still owes him $520,000, but he says he has broken the buyout agreement. There is no pending legal action. And Godfrey's Raleigh-based attorney, Elliot Abrams, of Cheshire Park, has said he hopes to have come to that. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Bob Sutherland, reading for the Reading Service. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, which has served our community since 1974. Thank you.